Open your Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians again. And we're still dealing with the subject of authority, and we may be on it for a long time. I just don't know. I'm just not at all satisfied with the level I'm walking in. I don't know about you. And God's Word isn't going to change. You know, many of us heard a lot of these same truths we've been reteaching here 20, 25 years ago. But there's one thing to hear the truth. It's another thing to know the truth. It's another thing to walk in truth. And this time around, we're going to walk in it. That's just all there is to it. We're just not going to quit till we walk in it. Because God's Word's not going to change. The devil's not going to change. The only person, the only one left in that equation is us. So we have got to change. And I know that the way your walk changes is by the renewing of the mind. And that's interesting because we're really not minds. At our core, we are spirit. But somehow that transformation has to come into our mind. Be you not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your spirit, by the renewing of your mind. Well, I had a lot of time to pray the last two or three days and listen to messages on my iPod. And what I mean is the Word. And as I kept digesting and rolling everything over, even the messages that I've delivered here lately, in my spirit, he kept bringing up this passage here about darkness and light. We're really talking about two kingdoms. And the Bible describes the two kingdoms as darkness and light. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to go much into this morning's message at all, but the first kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, really is because of Adam's fall. God didn't intend for Adam to be in darkness. He made everything. He looked and said everything is very good. He made Adam basically the god of this world. I mean, if you want to, you could look at it that way. He put everything under Adam's dominion. And Adam, when I say Adam, I mean Adam and Eve under man. And he intended under God for Adam to rule and reign here. And of course, Adam sold out to the devil. He believed what he saw and what he heard and trusted in what the devil said more than he trusted in what God said. So he disobeyed God and he sinned. And then death entered by sin and his nature changed. And even though God never directly gave dominion to the devil basically got it from Adam. Okay? And then Adam didn't have any way of getting it back. Once he'd lost it, he'd lost it. And so that situation went on for years and years. And one of the things that people say, well, how could that tragedy have happened? How could God have allowed that to happen? God didn't allow it to happen. Adam allowed it to happen, if you want to know the truth of it. And in that kingdom of darkness, it's not a good place to be. Now there's a new kingdom with a new king. His name is Jesus. All authority has been given in heaven and earth unto me, he says. He is the king of a new species, though. He is not at this moment ruler over that species of Adam. He is ruler over those that have been born of God. That includes everybody. Now, you got to forget those billboards that religion puts along the highways. Every now and then they'll show all the faces of the world. You know, all the little children of the world, you know. And the caption will be something like, we are all the children of God. That's not true. We are all the creation of God. But the Bible's real clear. You're a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. No other way. Now, He loves you. He loves fallen people. He loves, how does Dave put it, little flesh creatures? He loves them. And He's trying to get them to translated from one kingdom into the other. And that leads us right up to our verse here. When you got born again, okay, now hold your place. I said open to Ephesians. I hadn't told you where yet. But hold your place in Ephesians and go over one or a couple little books to Colossians 1:13. Everyone, the first time they're born, when they're born of their mother's womb, they're born into the kingdom of darkness. I don't care if they have two Christian parents. The law of Genesis is still in effect, and it takes human physical interaction to create people. and the product of a Genesis interaction that produces people with the nature of darkness. They have the nature of fallen Adam in them. So you're born automatically. You don't have to join the kingdom of darkness. You're born that way. You're born into it. You don't have any choice. So everyone grows up first in the kingdom of darkness. But when you get born again, Colossians 1:13, talking about the Father, says, "Who hath delivered us from the power," and that's the Greek word exousia, meaning authority. "He hath," past tense, "delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." In other places, it talks about us being in the kingdom of light. So the kingdom of His dear Son and the kingdom of light are like synonymous terms. We're going to be looking at some verses that talk about darkness and light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He says, "Follow me while you have the light. While I'm here, I'm the light." And boy, that's for sure. He was the only one that had the light of God on the inside of him. His life was the light of men. Amen? All right, now, so in Ephesians, let me find it here myself. I think I marked it. Yep. Ephesians 5, and look at verse 8. It says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Now this goes a little bit more. See, it says, "Walk as children of light." He says, but he says, "Now you are ye light. Now are ye light." That in the King James, you notice how "are ye" is italicized? So that's been added by the translators. But see, "you were sometimes darkness, but now light." You were darkness, but now light. So he's going a step further in the same way that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." You know what he said about his followers? He said, "You are the light of the world." Why? Because the life that he had in himself from the Father, as your progenitor, when you got born again, the life that he had received from the Father, that same life he imparted to you as his child. That's what made you the offspring of the Father. You are light. I want to look at one other verse that talks about that. Go back to 1 Corinthians. I'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Every now and then you need a good Bible drill anyway. Well, see, I'm so tired of man's opinions, aren't you? Let's get it from the Word. Let's see what the Word has to say about our authority. If you want to lay that up here, if you're recording, you can.
No.
Okay, all right. It's my Bible. Oh, your Bible. Hallelujah, okay. I go, "That ain't no Bible. That's one of them there iPhone thingies, you know." I feel like Dave pull out a mechanical pencil now, anyway. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and look at verse 14 here. By the way, I take this real serious. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Y'all just might as well know this. Somebody asked me again today, would I be willing to perform a marriage for a young couple in July? And I always say yes, because it's one less that Dave has to do. You know how he talks about, he'll do them, but it's like a stick in the eye, you know. Kind of is to me too, but I do it out of love for Dave. But I did ask him a question. I said, "Well, are both of them Christians? Are they both born again?" And if the answer is yes, well, I said, "Well, fine. Now, they don't both have to be Spirit-filled. I'd rather they be born again and Spirit-filled." But see what it's talking about here? I take this very seriously. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And notice, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And notice he's not comparing their walk at all. He's comparing who they are. One is righteous, one is unrighteous. And what communion has, here we go, light. Here we are again, light with darkness. He's contrasting believer and unbeliever. It's two kingdoms. Believers, in them is a spirit that is created from the get-go, righteous and in true holiness. The unbeliever's not that way. From the moment they're born, their spirit is born in darkness. It has that sin nature in it. So he's saying we're light, unbelievers are dark. Notice this, what concord or what fellowship has Christ with Belial? Now he's saying unbeliever. You know, Belial is another word for the devil, really. And he's saying, well, now, unbelievers. He's calling them Belial. He's calling in the same category. He's like calling them the devil. Well, what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? You are of your father, the devil, see? But he's saying, if you're a believer, he's just calling you Christ. So here in these two verses, Paul calls believers, say this about yourself, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
I am light.
I am light.
Can you do it? I am Christ.
I am Christ.
Here you go. See, somebody's going to take that and become a nutcase, start wearing sandals and a robe, be down there on the main street somewhere, start getting people to worship him, you know. Oh, what? You know, it's talking about the family you belong to. Who is your daddy? You know, who? You know, the unbelievers. Now, he's talking about the two families. One is the family of sin. One is darkness. The other is the family of Christ. It is light. It's two kingdoms coexisting on planet Earth at the same time. Now, as I understand it, even in the millennial, and I'm not an expert on end time, so I'm open for this, okay? But even during the millennial reign, while Christ is here on Earth, there's still going to be people on planet Earth that are not born of God. But at the end, now there comes a time when this whole planet and everything on it, and I mean even the elements, it says, are going to be consumed with a fervent heat and a loud noise. Basically, God, if you let me say it this way, is going to take out the trash. I mean, we're just going to end it all, and we are going to start over. And the way he starts over is with all these spirits, all of these children that have been born of God, born of light, and we're going to start again with a new planet, a new heaven, and a new earth. We're a long ways from that day. We're over 1,000 years, we know for sure, from that day, right? Well, during this time then, the analogy I said this morning is a little bit like during that period of time when David had been anointed king, yet Saul was still officially king. And that's kind of the way it is on planet Earth right now. Even though on the cross, positionally, from God's point of view, the whole species of Adam died that day, Christ didn't die for himself. He died as Adam. He paid the price. And that's why legally in heaven, God could pronounce the first man Adam dead. That authority that he first gave to the first man Adam basically returned to him. Now he's free to reassign that to whoever. Well, and again, it goes right back to King Saul and David. It says the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. And when Samuel anointed David, it says the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. But it left Saul. Well, now you've got David, who's been officially, in the eyes of God, anointed king. But in the eyes of man, he's not king. And Saul, who in the eyes of God no longer has dominion, yet in the eyes of man, he has dominion. And it's almost an exact parallel to the situation we're in right now. Have you noticed that the world is not running to the church for its counsel and wisdom and advice? And you know, the world, and even the devil himself, he said, this whole world and all the kingdoms of it and all the wealth, it's been delivered unto me. And Jesus didn't dispute that. And until the end, or at least till the millennial reign, we've got, some have put it this way, until Adam's lease runs out. You know, God could really end this thing, I think, any time now. The only reason he hasn't, well, you know, he is still waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. There's still people getting saved. I think about my own grandchildren now. I thank God that the end didn't come 10 years ago. We're going to have two more grandchildren that will wind up in heaven. And so he's waiting for that precious fruit of the earth. Now, more and more, this is helping me understand why Jesus would tell us, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Man, there is two different kingdoms going on. Now, getting to our authority, and this part, there'll be much more to come later. This is a product of praying a lot for the last 2.5 days in a car. In this period where the two kingdoms are coexisting, and King Adam's, the first King Adam's kingdom is still on earth, even though from God's point of view it has no dominion. That dominion He's given us is very much like we see Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And anywhere that we see the devil ruling, we have authority over every evil spirit, every sickness, every disease, the ability to cast devils out of anyone that truly wants to be free. Anything that is directly involved with Satan's kingdom, we have dominion over it. But in the same way that King David would not force his will upon King Saul. Did you notice that? He didn't try and force King Saul to do nothing. In fact, he had opportunity to kill King Saul, because Saul was giving David all kinds of trouble and running him everywhere. David had to do all he had to run and hide. And because King Saul was persecuting him all the time. And one time, there was an opportunity in a cave. David could have just killed King Saul in a heartbeat and it would have been over. He says, I will not touch God's anointed. He would not do anything to override the will or to do any harm to King Saul. You got that? Now, where that's important for us is we have no dominion over other people. Born again or not born again. In the same way that God won't... who can I use here? Danny. He's going, oh man. Well, Danny's been around since the Bible study days, you know. Danny's a survivor. I'm telling you, he's been here. He's been through the wars and the trenches with us, haven't you, Danny? And Danny, I know this, Sarah, one reason I'm picking Danny is so impossible to even think that Danny would want to backslide into sin. Let's say the bars. Oh my God. He's going to go drinking and carousing and all that stuff, see? And now he's a creature of the light. That's not really in his nature to do that anymore. But he's wearing flesh like the rest of us are wearing flesh. And the flesh is not dead yet, have you noticed? So it can start going, well, okay, you know, and maybe over a period of time, you know, he just hasn't been praying like he should. And he starts getting weak. You know, you can get weak if you don't eat. How do you get weak as a Christian? Stop eating. Stop eating food. What is the food for your spirit man? It's the Word of God and only the Word of God. You need to get that straight. Now, praying in tongues help digest the Word, but the Word itself is your food. Don't you ever quit inputting the Word. And there's a lot of ways to quit inputting the Word. You can quit coming to church. Did you notice you got some Word this morning? Okay. Reading your own Bible, I think, is the best way. Now we got iPods and iPhones, and you can listen to the Word that way. But you have got to get the Word. The Word is your food. Man, you get, just like in the natural, if you quit eating food, you're going to get weak. If you quit inputting the Word, you are going to get weak. Now, praying in other tongues helps digest that Word and extract it, like your digestive system extracts the vitamins out of a banana. You know, the niacin and the zinc and the potassium, and it sends it all through your body. The Holy Spirit extracts truth out of the Word of God, and He sends it all through your spirit. Keeps you strong and healthy and alive. But let's say Danny's not been doing that. He's been listening to that old rock and roll. And I'm just picking on stuff. Could be whatever. Anyway. No. Yeah. See, and it's good to pick on Danny because I can't even picture it. But see, if he decides to go back, if he makes a mental decision and overrides his spirit never yet wanted to go drinking in a bar, I'm telling you right now. Not his born-again one. But his mind can override his spirit, and he starts making that decision and walking towards the local tavern. Here he goes. Can you picture it? I can't hardly picture it, but try and picture it. Here he is walking to the local tavern, and God Himself will not override his free will. If God was ever going to do that, He would have done it with Adam on his way to the tree. Isn't that right? So the reason that's so important is, look, people make decisions. Ultimately, it's up to them. We have authority over devils. We have authority over the work of the devil, like sickness, disease. You can make intercession for people. You can pray like we did this morning and put them in a place called done and ask the Holy Spirit, ask that Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the camp. We can do all of that. But ultimately, we do not have dominion over King Saul. You got that? You don't make them do anything. I think about how Jesus, you know, Jesus is love. Even though he got angry, there was never a time when he was not love. Well, he got angry at the Pharisees. Did you notice that? I mean, I can tell his, you know, you hypocrites. You white. See, I don't know what people think. Do they think Jesus was standing there going, well, you little whitewashed tombstones? You know? Man, I don't read it like that. I think, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombstones, you do this and you do that. But he was loved the whole time. He's trying to save those old boys from hell. And he told them plain, unless you believe that I am who I say I am, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. Now that's telling it straight. And it's telling it to the leaders of religion. Can you imagine it like be like a big conference today? You know, one of our big uppity-up conferences where the finest Lexuses in the land are parked out front. They probably didn't even don't drive that. Now they drive Rolls or something. I don't know. And, you know, Jesus would walk up on the stage and go, you whitewashed bunch of you money-grubbing liars telling all that trash about how, you know, you know, selling indulgences and all that. I mean, he could get upset with them. And it doesn't mean he didn't love them. Was trying to save them, trying to rescue them. I don't know why I'm pointing right in front of her all the time. You know, he was telling them the truth. But he would not override their will. That's the point. If you don't believe I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. You have to believe that I am who I say I am. That's what he would tell them, but he would never force them. Well, we are going to have to understand that. Because you do not have dominion. David never tried to exercise dominion over King Saul. Now, let's go one generation later. Let's talk about after David was coronated king. Eventually, Saul came to an end. And we'll get into all that as this thing goes. The day that Samuel anointed King David, the type and shadow there, that's the day the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. But the day that King Saul died, that corresponds with the cross. That's the day that Adam died. Then there was another coronation. All right, that's the resurrection. We'll get into all that as time goes on. All right, but now David is enthroned. He is enthroned, and King Saul is dead. So, what do we learn from there? He started looking for any descendants. Is there anybody in the land? Anybody descended from King Saul? And they found a guy named Mephibosheth. Remember him? Yes. And he was lame in his legs, as I remember. It's been years since I've read some of these, but he was lame in his legs. So what's that a type of? He's broken. You know, he's a type and shadow of the whole human race. Now all the descendants of Adam, they're all broken. All of us are stunted. All of us are deformed. All of us are broken. And can you imagine when he sent out that order and the news came to Mephibosheth's house? Right. Okay, time out. Cole has lost two front teeth now. Oh. So he's got this lisp that he never had before. So he tried to jump out and surprise his daddy. I hope I can do it right. And he goes, surprise! Surprise! Gotta love it, you know. But can you, getting back to Mephibosheth, makes me talk with a lisp trying to say that name. When the word came, King David wants to see you. And he's descended from the man who persecuted King David for years, tried to kill him. Can you imagine the fear? So he has to appear. He doesn't have a choice. David's the king. And he has to appear. And he's probably, no telling what he's thinking. Boy, that he's going to execute me. He's going to put me in prison. And the only thing that the king did, King David, he basically adopted him as his son. He says, from this day forward, you're going to live in my house. You're going to eat the king's food. When I sit at the table, you're going to sit at the table with me. He says, for love's sake alone. He took a deformed, depraved, not depraved, but deformed creature, type and shadow of all the human race, all the sons of Adam, for love's sake alone, I'm going to adopt you into my house. Boy, is that not a type of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father who has sent that spirit of adoption into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Boy, we did. What did Mephibosheth, what did he do to earn that? Nothing at all. Strictly by grace. Now, he's asking me, why? Why have not more of my people walked in the authority I've given them? He said, there's many traps. Many traps. And what I'm hearing him say right now, one of the easiest ones to get sidetracked on is self-righteousness and passing judgment. And if the devil can detour us onto that path where we're just, we are light, we are righteous, we are born of God's Spirit, but if we take the attitude of better than thou, if we take an attitude of judging in a wrong way, see, we've got to really love Mephibosheth because Christ does. It's not a matter of trying to love. It's a matter of laying down our life. Yes, sir. See, and this is why the church hasn't understood those. We understand these parables, but I'm telling you, it is rare in the church world that they understand Luke chapter 6, what that's really about. You love your enemies. They slap you on the one cheek, turn the other. Because you go to a church where, thank God, there's revelation knowledge, you really understand what those passages are about. Most of the church world does not, and that's why they don't apply it. The denomination I grew up in has a lot of successful businessmen, and you know, but boy, if you go into business against, if there's trouble, there's going to be a lawsuit, and they don't think a thing about that. Well, you say, well, what about Luke 6? And what they'll say is, church is church, and business is business, and never the two shall meet, because they don't understand. They don't understand the message at all, and their priority is not the kingdom of light. The priority is their business. People get sidetracked on all those levels and never begin walking in the true authority that is of God. And I only got the beginning stages of this. I'm doing my best to share with you what he's telling me. The major trap, one of the earliest ones you got to be careful of, is self-righteousness. When you start seeing who he has made you, what would be the proper attitude for Mephibosheth? Gratitude. Thankfulness, understanding it's all by grace. I mean, he didn't do anything to earn it. He gets to eat the king's food, sleep in the king's house. I mean, if you know too, it just probably wouldn't be a good idea to rough up Mephibosheth. You know, because he's got the king's power on his side too. Isn't that right? But see, what if he got the big head and started thinking it was because of him? That's what happens in the church a lot of times. You say, well, I'm just better than you, and you're no good, and I am good. And pretty soon you're down a self-righteous trail that has got absolutely the wrong spirit with it. Because this whole thing is about the Mephibosheths of the world. Otherwise, we'd already be gone. This would have already been wrapped up. He's trying to get more Mephibosheths. I got to change the subject. Mephibosheths into the kingdom of God. That's the only reason why we're still on this planet, really. All right. This time around, I hear him saying, with this bunch, what he's trying to do is establish truth in us. And at the same time, because we have been groomed in this message, try and keep us going right straight down the center line, the highway of his will, without getting sidetracked on many of the diversionary traps that have shipwrecked, got them off track, stopped their progression, go so far and stay there. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for praying in tongues. Thank God for this message. We have at least a shot. The more I'm seeing what's coming, and I'll be honest with you, I'm seeing it just through a glass darkly. If I could tell you what I'm seeing, I see two kingdoms, I see two circles, I see this kingdom of darkness, this kingdom of light. They're separate, but they're mingled a little bit. They intersect, and it's like there's this overlap where the two meet, and that's where we live. That's planet Earth. We're of this kingdom, but we're in this kingdom to a certain degree. But we don't belong to that kingdom at all. Nothing about it it belongs to us. We may have to get, I don't know what's coming, but the more I see this, and I'm going, well, how come nobody walks in there? And he said, it's the traps, the enemy, that when it says the wiles of the devil, that you may be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. I mean, the enemy's had 6,000 years studying people. He's had 2,000 years studying Christians now, born again, many of them spirit-filled Christians. And if you notice, he's, what, 98% effective? 98%? I mean, how many? I don't know what percentage ever really walks in real power, but it isn't much. And I know most of that comes from the pulpits. I thank God we're in a church where at least we have a shot. What's coming from the pulpit is truth. But then we also have the Holy Ghost in our own individual walks, that if we'll listen to Him, He'll keep our attitudes right. He'll keep us from getting off on some of those side trails that have derailed so many other people in the past. We're not the first ones trying to walk in this, you know. Because I'm just telling you right now, what He's had to settle for, time and again, He meaning God, what He's had to settle for is gifts revivals. Almost exclusively. Gifts don't require maturity. Gifts just require that you receive it and walk in it. Just to just love God enough to obey God. So they go off, and that's the kind of revival He has, and then they wind up selling their prophecies. You know, all of the things that's happened. That is not what He's going to have here. There's already been too big a price paid. We are not going that route. He doesn't want us to go that route. This time, it's going to be a group of people that allows the potter to mold the clay, no matter how hard it is on the clay, until we resemble Jesus. Till we put on that new man. When that new man comes on, you're going to look like Jesus. And that is the armor of God. You're going to look like Him, walk like Him, talk like Him. Can I say smell like Him? I don't know what He's smelling. But have the same results. That's the real armor of God, where He can't tell. He's looking, I can't tell any difference. Who is that? Tired of being the policeman out there with no clothes on. You know? Jesus I know, Paul I know, Dave I know. Who are you? See? Hallelujah. All right. Where are we now? 2 Corinthians? I want to go just a little bit more here. Verse 14 again. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 6:14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Man, right there is why all things are possible. No matter how bad you feel about yourself, no matter how you think about yourself, no matter how much you lost your temper last week, no matter how selfish you were last week, no matter how much your flesh tempted you to sin, and maybe you fell for it some last week, and I'm trying not to look at anybody for any reason, you know. The truth of the matter is, you're God's hope in the earth. No wonder He'll take us back every time. No wonder we can run. See, we have something that the first Adam did not have. We have the blood of Jesus Christ on the mercy seat. When we sin, we have 1 John 1:9. We can go to that blood because it was an eternal life sacrificed for us. Then that sacrifice is for eternity. It never loses its power. Reminds me of a song. Never loses its power to cleanse. That's why you go back to it again and again. We have something. That's what Adam did not have. And you can miss it and go back, miss it and go back. Glory to God, this time around, we are going to have some transformation enough where we quit missing it. Grow up into the image of Him that created us. As Paul put it in Ephesians, put on the new man. As he put it in chapter 6, put on that whole armor of God. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. All right. You are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, now based on everything they just said, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, in the recent, quote, revival in Lakeland, which I believe was not a revival, there was sure not a separation between the clean and the unclean. Found out as time went on that during the, in between the services, there was, by the minister, the primary minister, drinking was going on, adultery was going on. Coming, you know, I don't know if you read the latest, now he's divorced his wife with the two kids and he's remarried now to the one that he was running around with. Boy, that's a far cry from what we just read right here. And I'm praying for the man. I hope he does get... I'm praying for the ex-wife. Now what's she going to do, you know? Two kids. It's just a mess. God has had to put up with that. That's been the kind that he's had to depend on. That's been all that's been available. Thank God for this church. Thank God for this message. But I'm telling you right now, we're not going to stay the way we are. The Holy Spirit's going to have His way with us. By our own free, He's not going to force you to do nothing. But like, I look at Danny and I have great hope. When was that? 1996, probably. 96 or 97? I ended it in 97. So, 96 and 97. Now, he was there in the early days when, I mean, you know, Sue and I were believing God for our next biscuit, you know. You talk about being through the wars. The good times, the bad times, his own personal life too. We know each other. And look at him there. See, the world would look at Danny and say, "Well, you got a job today, sir?" "Well, I've applied for a job." You know, he got caught up in the recession, you know. So he's a working man. He's not one of those guys that doesn't work. But got laid off where he was. So what's he doing? Out beating the bushes for another job, which is what you should be doing. But the world would say, "Got millions, do you?" No means. Are you in politics? You have a lot of power and authority? No. See, they're talking about Saul's kingdom. See, but I look at Danny and I go, this man's a warrior. I've seen this man slay the enemy. I've seen the enemy come and do everything, and I mean, would drive most people off, and Danny is still here. Tell you what, when we get in the trenches, you save a spot for me right next to you. I want a warrior like Danny in the trenches next to me. You understand what I'm saying? Tried and proven and still here. Amen. We cannot look with the world's eyes and evaluate. We've got to look through the eyes of Christ. Look, we've got to be able to see into the kingdom that we really belong to. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost to help us do that. Like I said this morning, to be continued. We're out of time. We're out of time. Hallelujah. To be continued. Two kingdoms. Kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Take the breath away. This is to whoever it's to. You get rid of condemnation using my word and my blood, and I mean do it before night, before your head hits the pillow tonight. Now stop it. God is not docking you because you didn't pray, didn't fast, didn't get in the Word. All condemnation from those kinds of things is the devil. Stop it. If you don't stop it and you let him keep having that inroad to your emotions and your mind, you're not going to wind up fulfilling your call. Now stop it. Let the blood cleanse you. Let the blood wash away any stain of unrighteousness. You are loved. You are accepted in the beloved. In the beloved. Remember that word that came recently. God says, I do not see failure in you. I see opportunity to overcome. That's God's word for this hour. And I mean that the devil's beating you up. I don't care what it is. Well, enough. It's blatant sin, Brother Gary. I've backslid into blatant sin. Repent. Stop. Awake from, what's that? Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, Christ will give you light. Any parent, what does he want when his children are messing up? All they want is for them to repent. Just come and tell me the truth. Stop it. Let's go from here. You're still my child. I still love you. Let's walk. Boy, this is for somebody. I mean, he wouldn't let the words come out. Now, you, somebody in here, maybe more than one, and I don't know who, if he told me, I might, he knows why he's not telling me. He knows how I am. But I mean, stop it. It's more serious than you know, and you're, it's a form of self, it's like the cat, I don't want to use, it's like they used to do, they'd beat themselves, would whip themselves on the back for penance. Flagellation. There you go. I thought it was something with passing gas. But anyway. It's close, isn't it? There's a word that's close, anyway. That's why I stay away from those 16-cylinder words, you know. I say the wrong one. It's no more effective than that. Was God ever pleased with any of that? Whipping themselves on the back? Trying to add that to the blood of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Get real. Now quit it. Stop. Yes, sir. The word I hear is wallowing. Stop wallowing. You've done it for so long now, it's almost become familiar. It's almost become habitual. Stop it. Get out of the mire. You are the child of light in the kingdom of light. You're my, he says, I have your face on the palm of my hand. Today he'd say, I have it on the refrigerator. I think about you many times every day. You are my delight. You're the apple of my eye. Now quit wallowing in that self-condemnation. Now quit it. Go to the blood, get cleansed, and let's go from here. Your daddy says, in Jesus' name, amen. You can count that as prophecy or not, but that's what he's saying. Hallelujah.